Canto 21. The natural thirst that's never quenched, if not by the same sweet water that Samaria's most humble woman begged might be her lot, tormented me, and haste urged me, and as I hurried on that crowded way behind my leader, a compassion for the just vengeance that made them weep welled in my mind. And lo, as Luke recalls in words we trust as from a witness, when Christ reappeared out of the tomb's mouth and was seen by two there in his way just so to us, there neared a shade behind our backs, while all we knew was that which lay before us, and we saw nothing of him until he spoke. God yield you peace, my brothers. Virgil's gesture bore acknowledgment for what had been appealed, but then he spoke. Alas, God never will for me. But may the faithful court on high that keeps me exiled hopelessly until the end of time bring you in peace where I can never go, the assembly of the blessed. And how, the shade asked as we speedily went on, if you're unworthy of this test, have you been brought so far on stairs that he built for one purpose? And my teacher said, look on the marks borne by this man, and see an angel traced them so he might be sped to where the righteous reign. But since the fate lattices, spinning that thread day and night, which is our life, has not yet the full rate of flax from Clotho, who selects the right amount for all alive, and loads and packs the distaff so his soul, your sister and mine too, could not alone make tracks this high, because by nature it is banned from seeing in our way through intellect. And thus was I drawn from hell's yawning jaws to guide him, and will guide him, I expect, as far as reason reaches with its laws. But can you tell us why the mountain shook so violently just then? And why we seem to hear one giant shout, which surely took all of the souls sent here to be redeemed down to its wave-washed base? Thus questioning, he put the thread's end through the needle's eye of my desire so neatly that the thing I wished to know made me less thirsty by the measure that my hope was raised. Whereat the other said, the mountain's holy laws do not brook the disorderly, or that which injures custom. This place, for that cause, is free from change. Only when heaven calls itself unto itself are changes made, but only then, and therefore no rain falls, or hail, or snow, or dew, and there is laid no carpet of hoar frost, not anywhere beyond the three-step staircase you have seen. There are no clouds here, whether dense or rare, nor lightning flash, nor has there ever been Iris the rainbow, who down there below will bridge the sky to echo the sunshine, nor does the wind's friend, the dry vapor, go higher than that third step which draws the line where Peter's vicar sets his feet. Although the mountain lower down might sometimes shake a little or a lot, it will not be up here where we are subject to a quake from wind the earth hides. If to me the reason is a mystery, still I'm sure it trembles when one's soul feels purified, so it may finally arise and soar on its ascending path, the upward glide, and then we hear the shout you heard before. Pureness of soul is by the will alone proved true, and then the soul, set free at last to change its place by no will of its own, is taken by surprise. The will holds fast the soul, and for the soul it will prevail. Until that time the soul might will indeed, but set beside desire its will is frail. Desire for sin, and then the equal need for penitence, that mirror image urge inspired by holy justice. I have lain 500 years and more in pain to purge my sin, and only now feel my will gain its freedom for the flight to re-emerge on a better threshold. That was why you felt the earthquake, and you heard the spirits shout their praises to the Lord. May they be dealt the same great benefit, all the devout throughout the mountain, and soon make the climb. He spoke thus. Since the draught is more enjoyed the more the thirst, I lack the words and rhyme to say how much I gained from that filled void. Then my wise leader said, now is the time, when I see how you're tangled in the net, and how you are let loose. I see why here it trembles, and why you rejoice. Now set my mind at rest, and let the truth appear, and tell me who you were. Then you can let me gather from your words why you have spent so many centuries here lying down. When goodly Titus, that soul said, was lent help from the holder of the highest crown to raise Jerusalem, a gesture meant as vengeance for the blood the gashes spilled to pay off Judas, then I bore the name that lasts best, and is most with honor filled, the name of poet. Yes, I had that fame, but not the faith. Still it was sweet, my song. I, from Toulouse, was drawn to Rome. My brows were decked with myrtle. Still after so long, men yonder speak my name, which yet endows my themes with dignity. It's Statius. I sang of Thebes at first, Achilles next. That second subject I could not discuss fully for lack of time. In each context, the spark that lit my fire came from the blaze that lit a thousand fires. I mean, of course, the Aeneid. In my poetry, it plays the roles of nurse and mother, spring and source. Without it, I'd have weighed a drachma, less. To have lived when Virgil lived. Here in this place, I would have spent a year more in duress before my banishment gave way to grace, just for the chance of treading the same ground. At these words, Virgil fixed me with a look that said in silence, silence. But he found the will cannot do all things by the book, for tears and laughter are close followers of passions, since they tend to spring from them, and with a truthful passion it occurs most often that we're likely to condemn their insolence. But still, I only smiled like someone hinting. The shade held his peace and searched into my eyes as if beguiled by something puzzling that might find release just where expression most resides. Your glance showed mirth just then. That it may end in good, your labor, please explain that merry dance. Now I am held two ways. There's one that would have me keep silent, and the other seeks the opposite. My sigh is understood by my guide. Fear not. Now be one who speaks, and tell him what he so much craves to learn. And I. You wonder, old soul, at my smile, but I would have a greater wonder burn its way into your mind. For all this while, plainly before you, as he guides my eyes on high, it has been Virgil standing here. Virgil, from whom you took the gift as prize, to sing of men and make the gods appear. And if another cause you did surmise for my smile, know it has to be untrue. Put it aside. The reason was your voice, the praise it spoke of him. I smiled for you, because my secret pleasure left no choice. He bent down to embrace my teacher's feet. But Virgil said, Brother, it's just no use. You are a shade, and it's a shade you meet. And Statius, rising, said, My one excuse is my great love for you, its burning heat. I clean forgot, because I felt so much, that shades are here to see, but not to touch.